We see it in so many different places, yet it is rejected by so many people. Today I'm talking about the cross. We see crosses everywhere. Just a couple of days ago, Paul and I went to have dinner, and while we were sitting there, the server that came up to us and was taking our order had a great big cross hanging on her neck. I began to wonder, not judging, but I wonder if she really understands the significance of the cross. I see crosses everywhere, and you do as well. We also see them on buildings. As we was headed to Florida a couple of years ago, I was cutting through Birmingham, Alabama, and I looked to my left as I was going south on I-65, and to the left was this great big building. I guess it was one of the hospitals, and it had a cross on top of the hospital. Therese, I remember many years ago, Baptist Hospital had a cross on their building. Woodlawn Funeral Home, the mausoleum itself, if you're in an aerial view of that, you can look down and the mausoleum is actually a cross. You see these crosses everywhere. We sing songs about the cross, don't we? We always sing these songs about the cross. We speak about the cross. Preachers and Bible class teachers, they seem to teach and preach up on a cross that Jesus died on. So there must be, when we see all of these crosses everywhere, Jerry, there must be something pretty significant, because we see it in artwork. Have you ever seen artwork with a cross in it? You can go to different congregations, different church buildings, and you see those beautiful stained glass windows, and many of those stained glass windows has a cross designed right in the middle of it. I have to think this morning about the incredible wonder of the cross. I wonder, when we look at the cross, do we really understand? Do we see the significance? Do we understand the importance of the cross? If I had to choose one particular subject, if I was only able to preach or speak about one particular subject in the Bible, it would have to be the cross and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because without the crucifixion of Christ and the fact that He arose from the dead, nothing else would even matter. Amen? It has to be the cross. Everything revolves around the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross talks about love. We can see God's love for mankind up on the cross, can't we? We see forgiveness from the cross. We see freedom from the cross. We see spiritual liberties from the cross. So whenever we're looking at the cross that Jesus Christ died on, we see many, many wonderful things. I often wonder how much folks really, really know and understand what the cross of Christ is really all about. But I think it's a desire that we should all have this morning. I know I want us all to be able to understand and be very clear about something, that there is nothing but nothing but nothing, Darlene, that compares to the cross. Do you agree with that? There is nothing that mankind has ever done, nothing that mankind can do today, and nothing that mankind can ever do in the future that would ever compare to the greatness of the cross of Jesus Christ. Listen, everything that man has done pales in comparison to what Jesus did while giving His life upon that cruel cross at Calvary. No matter how great your work may have been upon earth, it pales in comparison to what Jesus did while He was upon that cross. Having your Bibles with you, I hope that you do. We can go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, and we can share together verses 10 through 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. I want us to understand that even though, listen to me, every single drop of work that mankind has done today, you understand that it will be destroyed. Do you agree with that? It's going to go away. It's temporary. No matter what you may have come up with, maybe, you know, you have a cure for cancer, or maybe you're the one that invented the cure for polio, all these different things, all of that will be put aside one day. But the cross of Christ, it'll always stand. I want to see that there's nothing that mankind can do today that compares to what Jesus did, because everything will be destroyed, but the Lord's work on the cross will last forever. Go with me, 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 through 14. The Bible says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the element will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be what? It'll be burned up. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness?" The Bible says in verse 12, "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with what?" The Bible says fervent heat. Go to 13. "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Go to 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in Him. Talk about in Christ, in peace, without spot. And the Bible says, strive to be what? Blameless. Strive our very best to be without sin. Live our life as close to that cross as we possibly can. When we think about the Apostle Paul understood the importance of the cross as well. And when Paul came to Corinth for the very, very first time, you know, Paul didn't arrive there with this eloquent speech, did he? He didn't come in there with flattering words trying to impress. What Paul did is he brought the peace. He brought the gospel of Jesus Christ, which brings peace in our lives. Does that sound about right? All right, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go with me, look at verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, now this is what I want to make sure now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 and 2. The Bible says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Here's what he says in verse 2. For I determined, now this is what Paul's talking to the Corinthians about, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him, what? Crucified. So basically what I draw from that is, he's saying this is the root of it all, isn't it? This is everything that involves Christianity. Had it not been for the cross, had it not been for the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, nothing but nothing else would matter. Are we together with that? Everywhere Paul went, we know that on all of his journeys that he went, Paul took the message of the cross to be most essential. Paul never wanted to do anything and never wanted to say anything, Jerry, that would draw attention to himself. Paul wanted all of attention, all glory, because he knew it belonged to who? It belonged to God, and that's what he did. Well, I'm convinced that you and I, together, that we should all go throughout life with a very deep appreciation, brothers and sisters, for the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. What a sacrifice from God for you, and He did it for me. We know John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the that He gave His only begotten, that whosoever believes in Him should not, but have everlasting. 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8. Remember, these are those passages I try to tie into every lesson. In the book of Romans 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God, what did He do? Demonstrated His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, down in verse 14, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The Bible says, and you shall call His name Emmanuel. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Amen. Say that with me. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. And thank you, Jesus, for what you did when you gave your life upon that old rugged cross. We know, according to the book of Isaiah, around chapter 53 and many other passages of Scripture, that Jesus was prophesied about. He was talked about a great deal. And we can witness that prophecy being revealed in the very death of Jesus Christ. And we can witness it in His resurrection. Listen to me. Christ Jesus, God's only begotten Son, died while hanging upon that old cross at Calvary. And remember this, brothers and sisters. When Jesus died upon that cross, that wasn't intended for sinless people, was it? It was intended for who? Murderers and thieves and different groups of people like that. People that did a lot of crime. But Jesus, your Jesus, my Jesus, God's only begotten Son, your Savior, my Savior, He was sinless. But yet He went to the cross with sin, didn't He? Your sin, your guilt, my guilt. I think about what Jesus did, and I can't help but to know how much Jesus loves us and how much we better be loving Him. We know the cross was intended, or these crosses were intended for criminals, not for our Jesus. Go with me to the book of 1 John chapter 4. I want us to look at 7 through 19. Because when Jesus gave His life upon that cross at Calvary, all I can think about is love, seriously speaking. All I can think about is how much God loves us by sending Jesus to die for us. Are y'all ready? 1 John 4:7-19. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is what? In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might what? And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, then what should we do? Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. Go to verse 14. Let's just go, keep on going. And we have seen to testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have, watch this, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is, and that he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Verse 17, I love this, listen to me. Love has been perfected. Do you see that? Love has been perfected among us, and that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Friends, I believe, seriously speaking, I believe it's pretty obvious that Christ Jesus loves you and me. I hope and pray by the lifestyle that you and I are living that we are not leaving Jesus Christ on that cross. Amen? Sadly, we know about Christ. We know that he hung on the cross. If you knew that Jesus hung on the cross, confirm it with an amen. But we have to ask the question. We know that Jesus Christ was hanging up on the cross. How many people, by your lifestyle, by your conduct, by your actions, by your reactions, how many people are just leaving him on the cross? How many people today, by the things you're saying and doing, are we just leaving Christ on the cross? Do we look and recognize this precious Son of God died for me? He gave his life for me. He gave every single thing for me. And I'm just going to turn my back on him. I'm going to go back into the world and live any type of life I want to live. I have no respect for the Father, no respect for the Word. Sadly, there's a plethora of things going on in our world today, and there's a massive amount of people that has left our Jesus on the cross. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you and I have a responsibility to lay those ground rules out. And the ground rules is not what I say and what he says and what he and she says. It's what God's Word says. We have tried to form the Word of God. We've tried to water it down. We've tried to make it so that we can fill the pews up. We're doing everything, all these things, to please the people. What about just taking God Christ off the cross? Amen? What about having him with us in our everyday walk of life? Quit leaving Jesus on the cross. We get up in the morning and we pray to Jesus Christ, Lord, be with us, protect our family. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you will do. I'm not minimizing that. But what I'm saying is when we walk away from our prayer and we walk away from the cross and we leave Jesus there, what good are we doing? Are we not helping our neighbor? Are we judging people harshly? Are we judging people outside of the Scripture? Are we just beating people up for no reason? Why is it that we can find all of the wrongs that people do, but very few things right? Y'all get the point? But we sit back and he said, she said, they said, we said, they said, I don't care. And neither should you. We need to close our pie holes and we need to listen to what Jesus says. Amen? Take him down from the cross. He died on the cross, but he's alive in us. Amen? So let's make sure that we're not leaving Jesus on the cross. It's obvious that Christ loves us. And again, I hope and pray that we're not leaving him on the cross. 3 points, 3 things that I want to consider this morning as to why we need to make sure we don't leave Jesus on the cross. Is that all right with everybody? The first point I want us to examine this morning is this. Don't leave Christ on the cross. And here's why. Because it's God's greatest demonstration of his love for mankind. It's his greatest demonstration of his love for mankind. You and I talked about Romans 5:8 a while ago, where the Bible says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean, demonstrated? That means he put it into action. Isn't that right? We can tell someone that we love them, but if our actions are far from that, then that was just vain babble, wasn't it? God did not just verbally tell us in his word that he loved us. He showed that. He demonstrated that. He put it into action when he sent Jesus to die upon that cruel cross of Calvary. Please, I'm begging you. God's asking you in his word, don't leave Jesus hanging on the cross. Take him with you. every single day. God has already proven His love for us by sending Jesus into the world to be a substitute sacrifice for your sins and mine. Take a look. 1 John chapter 2, down in verse 2. The Bible says, "And He Himself is the propitiation." That word propitiation does mean substitute. "For our sins, and not for ours only, but also for" who? "For the whole world." Here's what I love about Jesus. Here's what I love about God. He doesn't discriminate, does He? God's love is for everyone. And also the gospel is for all, as the old song says. It was on that cross that justice and the love of God met. It was necessary to save mankind from their sins, brothers and sisters, to save you and me from eternal damnation. Because sin had to be, listen to me, sin had to be justly punished so that the repentant sinner may have an opportunity at salvation. Please don't leave Jesus hanging on the cross. As our Savior, your Savior, my Savior, our Savior together hung up on that cross, He took the whole wide world's sin with Him, didn't He? Giving every single accountable, breathing human being an opportunity to follow Him. But it's a choice. We know that Jesus willingly suffered the consequences of our wrongdoings and our sin so that we might become, brothers and sisters, the very righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, then verse 21. The Bible says, "For He," watch this, "made Him who knew" how much sin? "To be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." Give me the last two words. "In Him." You see why, Teresa, it's important to take Him down from the cross? You see now, Jerry Jr., why it's so important that we're not leaving Him on the cross? Do we understand, Esther, the significance of, yes, we know He died on the cross, but we're not going to leave Him there. We're taking Jesus with us each and every day. Larry, what do you think about that? Every day, Jesus is to go with us. When we're doing things contrary to the Scriptures, when we're saying things contrary to the way we should be representing Christ, we're leaving Jesus on the cross. We are to all, rather, recipients of God's goodness. Amen? And we're recipients of God's goodness in many ways. There is no blessing, I promise you, you can search the world over, but there's not a blessing in your life that compares to the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. He has expressed His blessing, and He has expressed His love so strong for you and me when He gave His life on the cross. When He, I'll go back to Larry uses this word a lot, when He redeemed us, when He purchased us with His blood. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. What did Jesus do for you? He hung on it. Now it's up to you. It's up to me individually. Will we take Jesus with us? Or will we leave Him on the cross? Many people will walk out of the doors of church buildings today and they'll leave Christ sitting in the pew. Many people will leave the assembly of ourselves together and will walk out and will get in their vehicle, head to a restaurant or head home to fix a sandwich and then get ready to go to work Monday, etc. And they'll not visit Jesus again until next week. Sad, isn't it? Don't leave Jesus on the cross. Take Him with us everywhere we go. Everything that we say. So many people, sadly, are losing their identity as a Christian because they're acting in ways that is not conducive to the Christian life. You know why? Because Christ is at the church building. Christ is still hanging on the cross. You've never taken Him there. You've never embraced Him. You're not embracing His Word. If we were embracing the Word of God, if we were embracing Christ Jesus in our life, if we were living a life conducive to the Scripture, then we would be a life pleasing. Yes, we'll still fall short. Yes, we'll miss the mark. But we would see the goal. Amen? We would know what our target is. Our target is perfection. We need to aim for perfection. Don't dare leave Christ on the cross. Be certain that Christ is in your heart and that everywhere you go, Christ is in you. You are in Christ. Are y'all good with that one? Point number two. The second point I want to examine is this. Don't dare leave Christ on the cross because His sacrifice, listen, because His sacrifice is the only true path to forgiveness. Without Jesus dying on the cross, James, that means there will be no forgiveness. Amen? So thank you, Jesus, for giving your life upon that cross. I know, listen to me, I know that the world needs to be reminded again and again and again that the only way that you and I have forgiveness today is because of what Christ Jesus did yesterday. Amen? So we didn't just all of a sudden come up with this idea that, well, now we're forgiven. No, that's not the way it works. We were forgiven when Christ Jesus gave his life completely, when he died upon the cross, when he suffered what he suffered for you and me. There is no other source of forgiveness in all of the world except by washing in the precious blood of the Lamb. And that precious blood of the Lamb is Jesus Christ. Amen? I think about 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what, Heather? Very good. Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, does what, Heather? From what? All of our sin? Very good. Thank you. His blood. His Son's blood. Where did he shed that out? What Jerry talked about a little while ago. In the prayers, and we talk about it, Rob talked about it, we've had other people talk about it. It is washing in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? It is partaking of the blood of Jesus. I think about Romans chapter 5, verse 9. I can't help but to go there. Romans 5, 8 is usually where I hang out, but Teresa, I decided today I'd jump up to the next verse, so Harvey won't say anything to me about it. Much more in verse 9. You ready? All right. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Give me the next two words. Through him. Now go to Galatians, if you don't mind. Galatians 2:20. I know I went quick. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And what did he do? And gave himself for me. Sadly, there are countless folks in the world today, seriously speaking, that are leaving Christ on the cross. They know where forgiveness comes from. They know the price paid for forgiveness and the one who paid the price, but sadly, far too many people are still leaving him on the cross. When we fail to do what God is calling us to do, brothers and sisters, when we are neglecting so great our salvation, we are once again leaving Christ Jesus on the cross. We are again crucifying our Lord and Savior Jesus. You remember what Peter preached to those men of Jerusalem? Those that had helped crucify Jesus, if I may. He had talked to them and preached to them a little bit. And they said, well, you know, men and brethren, what do we need to do to get this straightened out? You know, it's kind of late, isn't it? You've already killed him. But what is the love that Jesus has? Given an opportunity to repent, didn't he? Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter told those people, he said, let every one of you repent. Is that what he said? And then be what? In the name of who? For what reason? And then you're going to receive what? Very good. Thank you, congregation, for saying that. So many people say the Holy Spirit. Don't you dare get confused. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's a gift given to us by who? There you go. The Holy Spirit, by God. God gives us that Holy Spirit, doesn't he? And the Holy Spirit, the Word, God, are they all one? Very good. Okay. You heard it. You read it. You saw it. You know it. Don't leave Jesus Christ on the cross. Take him with us every single day. Yes or no? The third and final point, this lesson's going home with you. Don't leave Christ on the cross because of this. This is elementary, but we need to be reminded. Don't leave Jesus on the cross, are we ready? Because he, Jesus, is the only way to get to the Father. On this side? All right, very good. He is the only way to get to the Father. There is no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus. There is no other way to get to the Father except through Jesus. You can't even pray to God without praying through Jesus. Amen? Because he is our mediator. He is our lawyer. He is our spokesperson. He's the one that has given his life for us. He earned that, didn't he? And you and I should have that respect. You and I should have that regard that what we pray through the name of Jesus Christ. We end our prayers in Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the next word is, amen. And that's a good thing. Because Jesus prayed. Understand this. John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the no man. What about if you have a higher level of education? What if you have a PhD? What if you have an associate's degree? What if you're gorgeous? What if you're ripped? What if you're tore up from the floor up? What if you're ripped up from the hip up? What are you fat up from the neck up? None of that matters, does it? What matters is your solid relationship with Almighty God. Amen? We need to understand that our walk in life must be walking hand in hand with Jesus. Not trying to pull Jesus and tell him what we want and what he's going to do. And Lord, you need to do that. You need to do this for me to be able to walk with you. Get him down from the cross. Walk with him. Don't walk ahead of him. Walk with him or walk behind him. Let Jesus Christ lead your steps. He is the light unto my path. Amen? All right, I want to make sure we get that. I'd love for you to be at Colossians 3:17. If you are, just say, all right, I'm there. Very good. I love this passage of Scripture. We need Christ with us every day, and we need to be in Him, and He needs to be in us. Everything we do, everything that we say, seriously. Matter of fact, everywhere we go, we need to have Christ Jesus with us. You know why? Because we are all ambassadors of Christ, aren't we? All right, we're ambassadors of Christ. Here's Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the giving thanks to the Father through Colossians 3:23. Drop down a few verses. Look at this one. And what, I love this. I absolutely love this. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the who and not unto, what does that mean? I'm seeking my approval, Brother Larry, from God. I'm seeking my approval of from God. I'm seeking it through Christ Jesus. I'm going to walk the best I can. I want to walk as He walked. I want to follow His example. I have great respect for many of the folks in this congregation. And I try and I have learned from a lot of them. But I'm not going to pattern myself after you because you're a sinner. Don't pattern yourself after me because I'm a sinner. Let's pattern ourselves after the very one that says you can follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If we were not able to do it, Jesus would not. Amen. But there is a key to that. If anyone desires, Jerry, that's right, desires to come after me, let him deny himself, taking his cross down and follow me. Hear him say, you remember that. But you have to have that desire. Do you agree with that? So the only way that we're going to have a desire is by making sure that we take Jesus down, because we're going to get closer and closer to him. Are we together or not? I'm hoping that as we walk upon this earth every single day, that we've not left Christ on the cross. That we have Him with us, that we have Jesus in our hearts, that we have Him in our minds, that we have Him in our actions, that we have Him in our speech, that we have Jesus in everything that we do, and showing our love and our loyalty to Him. Not only Christ Jesus in us, but us in Christ. I know you remember what the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be what? Saved. Then we can go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man who? Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified when? In due time. Faithful obedience, brothers and sisters, with Jesus Christ is the way unto the Father. Faithful in living our life conducive to what the Bible says. Jesus is the only, say that with me, Jesus is the only way unto the Father. So whatever we do, listen congregation, don't leave Jesus on the cross. Yes or no? All right. This morning I pray that you're not leaving Jesus on the cross. Pray in your own prayers. Lord, I hope and pray that you'll help me every day not to leave you on the cross. We need to pray for ourselves and pray for one another. Yes or no? Folks, let me share something with you as I close. Seriously speaking, I want you to know that you are leaving Jesus on the cross when you go by some creed or manual made by man. Do you realize that? A lot of congregations come up with this thing from, well, I got it over here and I got it over there and I bought it at a Christian bookstore. I don't care where you bought it. If it ain't the Bible, it ain't real. Amen? It's got to be the Word of God. I don't want to assemble to hear what man's idea is. I don't want to hear about his thought, her thought, their thought. I want to know what God says for me to be a faithful, obedient child of His, so that I can be a positive witness toward others, so that I can go to heaven and take as many people with me. Is anything wrong with that? Now, I'm not disqualifying it. I'm not discounting it. If you go to my church library at my home, you'll see commentaries, you'll see books, you'll see reference books. You're going to see a lot of things. But one thing I will tell you you've never seen is I've never brought one into this pulpit, have I, that y'all know of. Amen? Some are like, you lying dog. I have not. I've never preached anything like that. Now, I have said I got this, or I saw where Guy in Woods thought this meant that. I will qualify that. But I'm not going to tell you that that's even scripture. I'll tell you what this dollar thought. Is that all right with everybody? Don't go about a creed. What about this? Failure to observe and participate in the Lord's Supper. Is that leaving Christ on the cross? Ooh, I must have hit a good one. I got several minutes left. Will you talk about the Lord's Supper? Do you know that when we fail to participate in the Lord's Supper with our heart, mind, body, soul, everything, fully remembering what Jesus did for us, that we're leaving Him on the cross? Because He said, do this in what? In my memory, or in remembrance of me. If we're not doing that, remember what Christ Jesus did, you've left Him on the cross. Yes or no? Okay, so let's go look at a couple other things real quick. When we fail, listen to me, when we fail to sing and make melody in our heart, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 19, when we're just sitting there looking like an old prune that's all dried up, what about that? Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. When you fail to do that, are you leaving Christ on the cross? Yes or no? We are leaving Christ on the cross when we fail to give back as we've been prospered. Listen, I've never had to preach on contribution, but there are people today that will support Walmart, Dollar General Store, and Next TV and all these different things more than they do the church. You will give an account for that on judgment. You understand? Oh, there's another sharp nerve. I don't like that. Jerry, give a bigger contribution. Thank you, Esther. You know, he's going to revisit that. Preachers and teachers, listen to me. When you and I, if we preach things that's not in the Scripture, we try to teach things that's not in the Scripture, we're leaving Christ on the cross. Do you get that? You and I cannot, we don't have the luxury of adding to or taking away to fit our lifestyle and the lifestyle of the ministry. We don't have that luxury. Thank God we don't. But you would be leaving Jesus on the cross. When we fail to preach the oracles of God by attempting to add to or take away from it, when our worship service together seems to be more of a burden than a blessing, perhaps you've left Christ on the cross. Amen? We should be excited about coming to the Lord's house. We should be excited about coming together, partake the Lord's Supper, singing, making melody in our heart, giving back as I've been prospered, lifting up our voices in song, able to stand and stand before a group of people and say, this is what God says. And you being able to go out and teach other people in your family, people at your workplace, about God and His great love. What a blessing it is to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. Amen. When that worship service becomes a bore to you, then I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I'm not sure you've been born again or there's been a problem in your birthing process, because to worship Almighty God is a blessing. It is a privilege for the Christian. Amen? It is something that you and I are called out. We are the sanctified people. We've been set apart from the world, and we've been called into the very bosom of Jesus Christ, saying, worship me, and do that in spirit and in truth. When we look at our worship service as a burden, when we look at the worship service as, oh, Lord have mercy, we got to get up, let us get going. There's a sock over here, and there's a shoe over there, and there's a tie over here, and there's, get it together. Some people today are more organized about their workplace and about company coming over and about a grill out event or about this, that, and the other than they are coming to the Lord's house. Get it together, amen? We are coming together to worship Almighty God. We are coming together to increase in number, to increase in our love, to encourage each other, to lift each other up. As soon as somebody walks in the door, we attack them. We beat them up. And then we wonder why people are leaving. What's the biggest thing that we hear about? The reason I'm not a member of the Church of Christ is they're all, starts with a J, judges. Too many judges. too many hypocrites in the church. We hear that over and over, but that's not just us. That's a lot of religious organizations that are out there. And we're not a religious organization. We are the Lord's church. Amen? I've never understood how people, seriously speaking, can talk about hypocrites in the church. There's no way that I can go to a church because of the number of hypocrites that's in the church. But yet, I wonder how many hypocrites are in Kroger. I wonder how many hypocrites are at the restaurant that you go and sit down and dine at. I wonder how many hypocrites are in your family, but you go to the family reunion. I wonder how many hypocrites are involved and engaged in the things that we engage with on a daily basis. But why is it, Dana, that we pick the church out? We say, I'm not going back to the church because there's hypocrites in there. You big dummy. Yes, there's hypocrites in the church. You know why? Because this is a hospital for the sick. Amen? This is a hospital for those that are spiritually ill. Guess who's spiritually ill? This one. That one. That one. That one. Every last one of us are spiritually ill. We'll be perfect when we are in heaven with God. Amen? So yes, there may be some hypocrites. Come on and join us. As I've said before, we got room for another one. So just come on in. Be part of the group. Come on in and be part of worshiping God. When we fail to sing and make melody, when our worship service becomes more of a burden than a blessing, you're leaving Him on the cross. When we neglect the assembly of ourselves together, you're leaving, listen to me, you're leaving Christ on the cross. When we treat each other unkind, not just in the church building, at home, at our workplace, with our children, with our parents, etc. When we treat each other unkind, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, are y'all getting a picture? When we look lightly upon sin, we are leaving Christ Jesus on the cross, and the list is on and on and on. So what about you? Are you leaving Him on the cross? Let me close with this part, then I might really close it. When you study God's Word and you're rightly applying it, you've taken Christ down from the cross. Amen? When we're praying without ceasing, we've taken Him off the cross. When we are helping other people, James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep yourself unspotted from the world, we've taken Him from the cross. Yes or no? When we love God unconditionally, sadly some people love God when the conditions are favorable for them. When we need God, when a crisis happens, loss of a loved one, financial setbacks, spousal issues, etc. Oh, we love God then. Oh, we just pray, Heavenly Father, for this, that, and the other. But when things smooth out, things simmer down, where's God then? Where is Christ then? I tell you where he's at. You put Him right back on the cross. That's what you've done with Him. Yes or no? Putting Christ first and foremost in your lives? Oh, that's helping Christ down. When you are preaching and teaching the Word in truth, brothers and sisters, that's keeping Christ off the cross. When we are making disciples, when we are teaching others about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we have taken Him off the cross. When we worship in spirit and in truth, when we are walking in the footsteps of Christ, we've taken Him down from the cross. I could go on and on talking to you today about Jesus Christ and Him on that cross. Let's close right now. If you're not a Christian, if you are not a child of God by now, you are leaving Jesus on the cross. You are guilty of crucifying Jesus Christ. Do you get that? We're all guilty of it. But for those of us that have put on the breastplate of righteousness, for those of us that have been baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, for those of us that have repented of our sins and now living for Jesus Christ, for those of us that made a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, for those of us that continue to hear and believe, for those of us that are living our life faithful unto death, for those of us that remember that we are indeed, we've taken Jesus on the cross. Today, if you're not a Christian, I hope and pray that you'll become one. Don't go back and say, well, I did this when I was 9 years old, and I did this when I was 13 years old, and Aunt Myrtle Dean told me as long as I did that, and I went and told her in the water, everything was good. If you were not baptized into the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, I encourage you to get back up here. Let's do it again. Amen? Let's make sure that things are right. Make that confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that He died for me. I believe that He was buried in a borrowed tomb from Joseph of Arimathea. I believe that upon that third day that He rose again. And I know without a doubt, without anything, that He's now sitting at the right side of the Father. Isn't that cool? You need to be able to tell people that. Will you accept Him today, or you reject Him today? Will you take Jesus off the cross, or will you leave Him there? If you are a Christian and you know that you're not living a life conducive to the Scripture, you're not living your life according to what Jesus would want you to do, you're putting Him back up on the cross. Let us help you. Let the congregation pray for you, help you any way that we can. I stand before this group of people again today saying, pray for me. I still want to do better. Not where I want to be. Thank God I'm not where I used to be, but I still got a billion miles to go, and I need your help to get me there. Is that all right with everybody? If you have that need, you don't have to come up here and say, well, I did this on May 10th, and I did this 2 weeks ago, and did it. We don't need to know all that. God already knows about that. But if you need the prayers of the congregation to live a closer life with Jesus and to take Jesus on the cross, let us know. We'll pray with you, for you, help you any way that we can. Should you need anything at all, come now.